4CRB 89.3 FM. Nice and easy on the Gold Coast.
Welcome to The Law and You with Margaret Miller from the Bell Legal Group. I'm here to help you and answer your legal questions on 5520 8888. We have a call from Frank. Good morning, Frank. What can I do to help you? Hello?
Good morning, Margaret. It's Frank here. Last week I rang you with a complaint about inadequate settlement from a property sale over the border.
Yes, that's right.
I wrote to the legal representatives and the bank, no names, no pack drill, just saying that it was pro bono advice on our local volunteer railway radio station. I got 3,300 from the solicitors, admitting there was an oversight, and the Commonwealth Bank, are going to provide the statement this week.
Excellent.
So I wait with bated breath. But I just wanted to thank you very much for that.
Oh, you're very welcome, Frank, because sometimes people make mistakes. It's just a normal thing. Not everyone is perfect. We try to be. But if there is a mistake and you have a feeling there's a problem, it's always a good idea to ask, because in your case, you've obviously got a refund and the bank is going to sort things out for you to make sure everything is right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Margaret. Bye.
John Fragile sends his best wishes to the listeners at 4CRB. He's currently working his way up the west coast of the United States, heading towards Canada and Alaska. I'm sure he's having a wonderful time, but he misses you all. Recently, I saw a very interesting case in the QCAT reports about a couple who had a dispute about school fees. They'd been divorced and they'd reached agreement that Dad would contribute to the school fees, and he stopped. Now, ordinarily, people would go to the family court and spend lots of money having a fight about it. But in this case, the wife went to QCAT because there was an agreement that she'd made with the husband and he'd broken it. And QCAT upheld the agreement and said he had to keep paying the school fees. This was a very lateral thinking way of doing it, because a lot of lawyers would have said to their client, let's go to the family court and sort it out. But QCAT, as you know, is a non-lawyer jurisdiction. It's a very cheap and inexpensive way to deal with things. So it's nice to see that someone is thinking out of the square and coming up with a solution. Bear in mind, too, that if you have a legal problem, you can always consult with community legal centres like Robina Community Legal Centre, which has some wonderful family lawyers, including Alex Wynn from Bell Legal Group and myself, who give free legal advice on Thursday evenings. Robina Community Legal Centre is shortly going to be doing an information evening on what you do if someone owes you money. And details of that would be available from the Community Legal Centre. I think that's going to be happening in a couple of weeks, so it's worthwhile keeping an eye on it. It's a big reminder to people, when they have legal problems, you should get advice as soon as you can, because in some cases you can sort the legal problem out with a lot of difficulty, whereas if you leave it until it becomes a huge problem, it could become difficult and expensive. Good morning, Kevin. What can I do to help you?
Good morning.
Yes, Kevin.
Look, just a quick call. My son was in a relationship. I seem to be getting feedback here. What's that from? Can you hear that?
Have you got your radio on in the background?
No, I've turned it off.
Well, I can't understand what it is because it seems pretty clear from here. I can hear you clearly. You might have to just soldier on.
Well, that's the main thing. Look, my son was in a relationship for a number of years with two children. He has a house with a mortgage. The relationship's broken down. She's departed and she's moved in with her. She's got another relationship going on. I just wanted to know, when he receives his inheritance from me, he's got three other siblings and there'll be a quarter share. Is she entitled to claim any of that?
What's the state of the relationship at the moment? Were they married?
No.
Okay.
They were living together
for about
10 years. Two children. He's at home with the children.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking after them and all the pets and what have you.
Goodness.
And all the costs of everything. So down the track, you know, we've looked at... He's got equity in the place would probably be $100,000.
Is the house owned is the house owned jointly by them? Or is it in his name, or what's the position with the house?
I think it's in joint names.
All right. Well, what he should be doing, Kevin, is he should be reaching agreement and making a financial settlement with his former partner. There are time limits. If people haven't been married, there is a time limit of 2 years following separation to apply to the court for property settlement. But in this case, because the property is owned in joint names, she's still an owner, so he'll have to come to some agreement with her about it. And if if they do a property settlement, the property can be transferred from one to the other without paying stamp duty. And that might...
Sorry, go on. I suggested that to him.
Yes.
That would be the best thing to do. But what if it's only in his name?
Well, she still has a claim for property settlement.
Yes. He's not trying to cut her out of it.
No, no. And what he should do, I think, is go and get some legal advice. Now, I'm assuming that he will sort his property settlement out within 2 years of separation. Now, I'm assuming that you're not going to turn your toes up for a lot longer than that. So,
well, I hope not. But
I hope not too. But there shouldn't be a difficulty with him receiving an inheritance once all the financial matters are sorted out with the ex. If he was married, people can keep making a go for property settlement up until 12 months after a divorce is granted. So when people separate, my advice is get legal advice early, sort out problems early, try and do it nicely so you don't spend lots of money with lawyers. But in your case, if you are concerned about the inheritance, if you think you might turn your toes up within the next 2 years, go and see a lawyer and get some advice, and the lawyer can help you draft your will to cover that contingency.
Good.
But the reality is that generally an inheritance is classed as an expectancy. It's not an asset in a marriage. But depending on how quickly it's coming, the court could take it into account. But in this case, I don't think you've got anything to worry about.
Okay, we'll get some legal. I'll get him to get some legal advice on the other. Make her an offer, probably.
Well, that's a good idea. That's a very good idea because there's children involved. He's going to have to continue being a parent as well.
They're going
to have a relationship for a long time. There's no point fighting about the assets because otherwise the lawyers will get all the money and they'll get very little.
Yeah, that's good advice. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Kevin. I wish you well with your family problems.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Thank you. I was very interested to read an article the other day about travel insurance. Normally what I do when I go on a holiday is I buy the travel insurance for the holiday. But the article that I was reading was telling me that if you buy travel insurance for a whole year, it covers you whenever you go anywhere. If you go away for the weekend or if you go overseas, and it works out to be a lot cheaper than the travel insurance you buy for short trips. So it's worth having a look at that. I was quite surprised. I didn't think of it. But ordinarily, as I said, you go for the travel insurance when you're doing the big trip. But if you're covered, if you're going to Noosa for the weekend or anywhere else, that's a really good idea and it's worth looking at. Talking about an aspect similar to family problems, it was interesting to see that article in the United States recently where the freeloader son aged 30 who had been living at his parents' home, refused to move out. He propped in there for 8 years. The parents tried to get him to move out. They offered him money to go. They pleaded with him to go. And then in the end, they had no choice but to take him to court. And Michael Redondo was very upset that the judge told him to get out. He thought that he should have a lot longer to stay in there. He first of all argued that he needed to have time to sort out a problem with contact with his son until the judge was told that he had been denied contact with his son for the last 2 years because he just didn't want to see him. He was also unemployed, refused to get a job. The judge made the order to move him out. He has to get out by the 1st of June. And one of the local restaurants, the Villa Italian Kitchen, offered him a job. And they even offered him $1,000 as a sign-in fee so that he would take it. And typical with this freeloading son, he's considering his options and trying to delay the inevitable. It's just one of those terrible things that parents sometimes have to put up with. In a lot of cases, parents love having their children living with them. But in this particular case, I think young Michael wore out his welcome and he should hit the road and make his own life. One of the other issues that Kevin would need to consider when he's making his will for his inheritance is who's going to administer his estate. After a person dies, someone has to administer the assets of the person who has died and to finalise the affairs. Where a person is appointed in a will, they're called an executor. They're chosen by the person making their will to carry out their wishes in managing the estate, and they're responsible for the administration and distribution of assets to beneficiaries. An executor can be a friend, a relative, or a professional like a lawyer. Most people are unaware that there could be problems administering an estate, and sometimes people decide that they don't want to do it. The steps that are taken for administering an estate are often a probate needs to be obtained. A probate, while it sounds very scary, is simply an acknowledgement by the court that you've got the right will and the executor can administer the estate in accordance with that will. If you don't get that probate document, there is a chance that if you get it wrong and another will surfaces, you could be sued by the beneficiaries. We recently had quite an interesting case where there was no will, so letters of administration were obtained. And quite surprisingly, about 12 months into the administration, someone found a will. So it was back to square one. The letters of administration had to be set aside and probate applied for. That's one of the problems you have with estate administration, and it's worth watching out for. We have a call here from Deb. Is it Des? Good morning, Des. What can I do to help you?
Yes, good morning. We have a commercial property in a dividing fence issue. I know all the laws on it, and I've looked it up on the internet about how they should have approached us to get quotes and all the rest of it.
Yes.
The company just went ahead and put up this big steel dividing fence. There was already a nice big hedge there before.
Mm-hmm.
They cut away all the hedge. They extended concrete across onto our property, about 4 inches or so onto our property. They cut off the hedge and then they went and installed this big steel fence and then actually attached it to the front of our property, not the rear side of
mm-hmm.
it, actually to the front, and it's the fence is probably about 4 to 6 inches on our property. I've written to them, advised them that, you know, that the law says once a fence is on our property, it becomes our fence and we can do what we like with it. And I'm just wondering where I stand now, whereas they won't do anything about shifting it or actually putting it on the boundary. I'm just wondering what the next step is I can sort of say to them so that in the future, if we want the fence taken off, we can just do it or we got to... What do we do now?
You're in one of those terrible situations where legally and technically you are right, but
yes.
but the problem you've got is you've got a neighbour who's going to be there for a while. So if you are concerned about the encroachment, and that's something that you should be concerned about, because if someone moves the boundary onto your property, they get a bit of extra land. The fence is supposed to be built right on the boundary. Now, you can apply to QCAT to have the fence corrected. And you would apply and say that it hasn't been built on the proper boundary. What the procedure would be is you would ask QCAT to order a survey to be taken so that the proper boundary can be established, or you can do that as part of your proceeding and seek the costs in your proceeding. And
so
if you are correct... Of a surveyor.
Yeah.
And if you are correct that they've built the fence in the wrong place, you can ask for an order from QCAT that they pay the cost of putting it on the proper boundary.
Oh, okay. And you can also ask QCAT for them to pay for the survey as well.
Well, if you get a survey done to prove your case, that's a cost
going
to QCAT.
We already have a survey of the property, which he actually asked for a copy of, and I sent it to him. Shows that our actual building is still in our property by about 1 centimetre. We're talking commercial, you know, where you have a big concrete wall, you know.
Of course.
Our building is, it says on the survey that our building is in our property by about 1 centimetre. So would that survey survive with the QCAT?
Look, or? Ordinarily what happens, Deb, is that when a survey is done, the surveyor puts pegs down which are not allowed to be removed. They are supposed to stay there forever. So
yeah, well, there was surprised. Yeah, there's a hedge there, and then he's gone and put concrete there. So
well, I'm surprised the neighbour has done the wrong thing. But these days, you can probably get onto the surveyor and get the GPS coordinates for the boundary so you get them exactly right. And if the fence has been built inside your property, then you can make an application for the fence to be moved at your neighbour's expense. It's a pain in the neck doing it, but that's really all you can do.
Yeah,
so it's a lot easier than you knocking down the fence and being in World War III with your neighbour.
That's right. That's what will happen, yeah. I was wondering about, you know, if we can send in some sort of a letter to say that in the future, if we want that fence taken off, that they will have to do that? Or
no, well, you can't do that without a court order. And you see, unfortunately, they may not own the land at the time that you want the fence down. So
Also, it could be a body corporate issue because there's about five or six units in that complex, and I'm not too sure how many. The guy who did it, I'm not too sure how many he owns, whether one or two.
You should check that, because if there is a body corporate involved, the proper person to take to QCAT may be the body corporate rather than the person.
Yeah. Okay.
So possibly you should write to the body corporate and say that the fence encroaches on your property. Are they going to fix it? And then they will write back and say, it's our responsibility, but get knotted, which means you'll go to QCAT.
Yeah.
Or they might say, we didn't do it. It was Bill Bloggs. Go for him. And then obviously I would still, for the sake of safety, join both Bill Bloggs and the body corporate.
Because
if it's a body corporate property, they're responsible for the community property.
Okay, great. I really appreciate your help with that. I was stuck on what to do next.
Well, best of luck. I hope it's a good-looking fence at least.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. It is a very good fence, but problem, it's attached to our property.
Yes, we might take a message from a sponsor and then we'll take the call from Michael that's waiting.
Do you want to be able to come home, turn on the TV and have it work? It does not matter why it's not working, whether it's antenna, internet or just hard to use. At Brockie's TV, we first assess and ask questions on how we can be most useful to you. We quote first and we stick to that quote. Forget all the technical jargon. How about we just make the TV work? Sounds easy, doesn't it? TV should be easy. Call proud sponsors Brockie's TV, 1-800-588-688.
Join the Burley Heads and Miami Senior Citizens Club for loads of fun activities. Indoor bowls each Wednesday, Friday afternoons and Sunday morning. Line dancing Tuesday and trivia Thursday afternoon. Play cards Friday morning. Only $3, and this includes refreshments in air-conditioned comfort. Telephone Beryl on 55546807. Located at Mar Hall, 42 Matilda Street, Burley Heads, with off-street parking and easy ramp access. Hire the hall, only $22 per hour. A sponsor.
It's Back to the Law and You with Margaret Miller, 5520-8888, and we have Michael on the line. Good morning, Michael. What can I do to help you?
Good morning, Margaret, to you. My elderly sister is a beneficiary and a joint executor of a will. The probate has been granted, I think the term is.
Yes.
The problem is the will is to be divided into 60 parts, where one person may get 1/60th or 10/60th or 6/60th or whatever. The stumbling block is a nursing home unit, and it's one of the AVO ones, and there are over 20 units already for sale in that complex.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything, all the rest of the assets are inverted commas cash. Is there anything that can be done to have a preliminary distribution of that estate?
Well, the difficulty you've got is if you've got a set division of, into 60 parts and you don't know what you're going to get from the sale of your AVO unit, you can't work out what the distribution is going to be with any real accuracy. The only way you can have a partial distribution now is if all the beneficiaries agree, and it may well be the case that you might be able to work out an amount from the money you've already got that won't affect the rest of it. So you may be able to divide the AVO into 60 parts when you get it.
But
you need to get Yes, you'll need to get the consent of all the beneficiaries so that you don't have a problem with it. It's most extraordinary that there's 60 beneficiaries, but...
No, there's not 60 beneficiaries. It's just divided into units of 60.
I see. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
say it's 600,000. Well, everybody gets 10,000 multiplied by how many units they got or whatever it is.
Oh, I see. Yes. Well, that's not that complicated then. Yes.
Yeah.
Look, that's the way to do it. How long do you think the AVO sale will take?
Oh, who knows? The problem is with AVO, as was reported in that TV unit, is
no, we can't. We can't talk about things like that because AVO might get nasty about it, so we can't say anything defamatory about them.
No, now, I won't say anything defamatory, but they put the price on the unit.
Well, they obviously pick the market price for it. It might be an idea for the executors to go to AVO and say, how long is it going to take? We've dealt with a few unit sales of that sort, and they move reasonably quickly because that's an area which is developing very quickly. There are a lot of people wanting to move into retirement villages. And AVO has now got a new scheme that apparently is quite attractive to people who are going in. Have a talk to them, ask them how long it's going to take, and then try and work out how long the estate administration will take. If the beneficiaries are happy, you can probably do a partial distribution early.
Margaret, thanks so much for your help.
You're welcome. We have a call from Erica. Good morning, Erica. What can I do to help you?
Good morning. My question is... that we've made one of our beneficiaries also the executor, and I've seen how much work it takes to do everything to do with a will. Can we put into the will something to pay her?
Yes, you can. They have what's called an executor's commission that you can provide in a will, and you can either say a set amount, so much an hour, or you can say, I'll give her this amount of money to do the estate administration. In a lot of cases, bear in mind though, Erica, that executors will use a lawyer to help do it because lawyers can do things quite quickly and cheaply. So it may well be the case that she delegates the work to a lawyer, which won't be as difficult for her. But again...
She's done it before.
Yes.
But I just thought that time, 10 years ago, she deserved, say, $2,000 for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can do that.
I just wondered.
You can do that. You can leave a bequest to the executor in return for doing the estate. And you can say to her, in consideration of the executor administering the estate, I give her a bequest of how much you want to give her. So that's not a problem, provided she doesn't sign the will as a witness, because then she can't get anything.
You.
Now, we're getting close to 9:30, so we might
thank
be running
you.
Out of time. Do you have any more questions, Erica?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you. This was The Law and You with Margaret Miller, and we'll see you next week.